Well, hey, I am really super excited to be here with you in our online campus today. For those of you who I haven't met yet, either digitally in our chat room or our chat window, or even physically at one of our physical campuses, my name is Adrian Feldman, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Northeast. Every once in a while, we get this really cool opportunity to come together as an online campus and experience a church service today, and that is what we're doing today, and I'm just super pumped that we get to be here. One of the things that I love about having an online campus is that it's this place where we can all come together and we can experience church together in the same place. And I've said together like a million times, but it's fine because we really are. We're together no matter where we are. So today, I just wanted to give a shout out to some of our people who we know gather together each weekend to do church. We have people who are in the military who get together with their roommates and the other people who are stationed where they are, and they experience that church service together. We have nurses and doctors and first responders who are gathering in break rooms to experience this church thing all together. And I think that that is really super awesome. And I wanted to give a shout out today to those who are volunteering in our online campus because they work so hard to make sure that we have this environment where we know that we're all in it together. This is the fourth week of our sermon series called Quiet. It is all about how to hear from God. And we have been working through the sermon series for the last 3 weeks, and we've been talking all about the different things that we can do in our lives to really, really hear from God. But throughout this entire series, we've been working from this baseline assumption that everybody wants to hear from God. And don't you? Don't you want to hear from God? The problem with that, though, is that God doesn't necessarily speak to us the same way that we would expect him to. And so we get a little bit lost in the details of how to hear from God. Now, let me tell you about a time when I expected to hear from God in my own life. It was a few years ago, and I was like a million months pregnant. I was down to that end part of pregnancy where you just feel like the Goodyear blimp all the time, and you're super miserable, and you start getting these phone calls from people who are like, hey, have you had that baby yet? And of course, you're like, obviously, I haven't had that baby yet. So you look down at your belly, and you reply, what baby, right? So I started praying, God, just tell me when this baby's gonna come. God, please, just tell me when this baby's gonna come. Just give me a sign. Let me know something's happening. I am desperate. I've been pregnant for 100 years. Please just tell me when this baby is gonna come. And then I started doing something that was really, really weird. I would finish my prayer and I'd open my eyes. And then I would pick up my phone and check my text messages, like God was gonna tell me when the baby was coming via text. But it's been 5 years now, and I can absolutely confirm that God does not answer prayers via text. And he doesn't call you on the phone either. And that can be really difficult because we really want to hear from God, don't we? We want to hear his voice in our lives, but he's not communicating to us in the way that we hope that he would. But my promise to you today is that you can hear from God and that it might not be quite as mystical as you think that it's going to be. So for the last few weeks, we've been working through this diagram that shows us how to hear from God, right? And we've been talking through all of these different pieces. We've been talking about reading scripture and surrounding ourselves with spiritual people. We've been talking about how the Holy Spirit can influence our conscience. We've been talking about all of these things. And the one place where we really haven't focused in on this diagram is prayer. And prayer is where we're going to land today. And we're going to spend our entire time today talking about prayer for two reasons. The first reason we're going to talk about prayer today is because we really do believe that, like this diagram shows, prayer is a multiplier, right? If you add prayer to all of these other things that you're doing to try to hear from God, you're just going to expand the way he can speak into your life. Communicating with God is really about having a two-sided conversation. And when we pray, we open up those doors by communicating with God so that he can communicate back with us. The second reason we're going to talk about prayer today is honestly because I think a lot of us feel like we're not very good at prayer. Is that you? Do you feel like you're not very good at prayer? We've got all these reasons, right? All these reasons why we think we just can't do it. You know, when I realized I was bad at prayer, I had gotten in this season where I'd set up this really amazing prayer habit. I was so on it. Every single day at exactly the same time, I started to pray. And here's what it looked like. I would finish out my day and I would get in my bed and I'd put my head on my pillow and I'd start to pray. And I never missed it. Every single day. For years, I had this prayer habit. And here's what my prayers looked like. God, thank you so much for... And then I would fall asleep. And day after day after day, I would start these prayers and then I would fall asleep. Talk about terrible at prayer. Can you imagine picking up the phone and calling somebody to talk to them and being like, hi, thank you for, and then hanging up? I mean, I was bad at prayer. And that's not the only reason people feel like they're bad at prayer. You know, some people feel like they just don't know how to pray. Or maybe we have a focus problem, right? For the last few weeks, Tyler's been talking about this focus problem we have, that we live in a society where we've been conditioned to take in that 3S material, right? If you haven't heard that in the other sermons, go back and listen to him. He talks about how we've been conditioned in this social media age to take in material that is 3S's, shocking, short, and shallow. And what I want to propose to you today is that our own prayer lives have become shocking, short, and shallow. Here's what I mean. For most of us, we get in this habit where we only pray when something really big is gonna happen, right? In those crisis point moments of our lives. And so we've got these like big, shocking moments that we wanna talk to God, right? But we haven't established a habit and we haven't built this time of talking to God up. And so it's short, right? Not only are our prayers short in length, but the amount of time we've spent engaging in that relationship with God is short. So we've got shocking and short prayers. And when you haven't built that relationship, how can the prayer be anything but shallow? It looks like this. It looks like a prayer that's like, okay, God, this huge thing is about to happen in my life, and it is so big. It's so big, God. It's so big. It's the biggest thing that has ever happened in my entire life, and I just really need to know what to do, God. I need to know what to do, and I need to know what to do right this minute. So if you could just, like, give me an answer right now, that would be great. And then we open our eyes, and we listen for, like, about 10 seconds. And then we're shocked when we don't hear anything. But that's what happens when our prayer relationship with God is shocking and short and shallow. But what if instead of treating God like a crystal ball or a genie, we started treating God like, well, God? What if we could do it all differently? What if we could do a reset on how we pray? You know, when I was a kid, I would play the Mario video games on Nintendo. I was really into it, and I'm, like, super good at it. I beat my husband every time we play. I feel like you need to know that. But every time I would play, if I would start to go down a path that didn't make sense or get pretty far into the level and realize I'd missed some things that I wanted to do, I knew I could hit start select, and the level would end, and I could start over. What if you could hit reset on your prayer life like that? What if you could start all the way over and learn how to pray again? Have you ever considered asking someone to teach you how to pray? You know, sometimes I think about how different things might be in my life if I went back 5 years and I swallowed my pride and I went to someone and I said, hey, you are like really good at prayer. Would you teach me how to pray? Would you mentor me in prayer? You know, just a couple of months ago, I was sitting in a meeting with someone who prayed, and I had my eyes closed like you do. And as this person was praying, I was thinking to myself, I think if I, like, peaked right now, I might see God right here. I mean, this prayer was so good. What might have happened if 3 months ago I'd said, hey, so that was the best prayer I've ever heard in my entire life, and ask that person to teach me how to pray? Do you want to learn how to pray? You know, the disciples did exactly that. And the good news is they made it really, really clear. If you've got your Bible with you, your paper Bible, or pull out your app, you can go to Luke chapter 11. We're going to kind of sit there today. But here's what happens. Jesus is someplace praying. And as he finishes his prayer, and you can read it here in Luke 11:1, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." It doesn't get any clearer than that, right? They are explicitly asking Jesus to teach them how to pray because they saw that he was really good at it. And this makes sense to me, right? Like, out of all the people who have ever lived ever in the entire planet, Jesus would be the absolute best person to teach us how to pray. But the cool thing that happens right after this is that Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. This is not one of those times where he launches into a parable that some people are going to understand and some people aren't going to get. It is one of those times when he just comes right out with the answer. And I'm going to share his answer with you, and I want you to pay close attention because I think it's something that maybe will sound a little bit familiar to you. This is going to be in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. Jesus says, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Is that familiar to you? Have you heard those verses before? If it doesn't sound familiar, let's flip it to a different version because I think that you know this and you might even know it by heart. "Our Father, who art in heaven," are you repeating this along? Because I think sometimes when we hear this, it just comes out, right? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Right? Have you heard this before? You know what the problem is with this prayer? Nothing. There is nothing wrong with this prayer. That was a trick question. The problem with this prayer is how we handle this prayer. Because for most of us, very literally, we can repeat it with our eyes closed. We have heard it so many times that we forget that there's a lot of really great stuff here. It's kind of like this. Back in 2012, my husband and I bought our very first home. And we were so excited when we walked into this house for the first time that we were going to have our own driveway and we were going to have a mailbox and we were going to have a basement and it was going to be amazing. We were so pumped that without doing a lot of research, we just bought it, right? And we rushed the closing process and we got moved into this house really, really fast. And the very first night that we were in our brand new, beautiful, unbelievable, incredible dream home, we were jolted awake at 11 p.m. by the sound of a train that might as well have been in the backyard. And it rattled us. I mean, it just destroyed us. First of all, it's terrifying if you don't know that there's a train that close to your house. But also, it was so loud. It interrupted everything. It woke up our kids. It was really, really big. But then we lived there. And we lived there for 5 years. And by the time we'd been there for 2 or 3 years, we stopped noticing the train. We didn't hear the sound anymore. It didn't wake us up anymore. Our daughter, who was born to live in this house that we brought home from the hospital to this home, never noticed the train. Never noticed the train. But anytime somebody would come over and visit and the train would go past, they would notice the train and comment on it. You know, like, "Whoa, that is really loud. How close is this train to your house? And how could you have bought a house so close to the train tracks?" But because we'd lived there so long, you guys, we didn't notice it anymore. And that's what happens with this prayer, right? We've heard the Lord's Prayer repeated so many times that it doesn't mean anything to us anymore. And so we forget that inside the Lord's Prayer, we have learned exactly from Jesus how to pray. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to break the Lord's Prayer down and we're going to learn exactly how to pray from Jesus. So this prayer starts out with this, "Our Father," right? Jesus addresses God as Father. And I just want to pause there because I know it's only like one word into this prayer, but it is so impactful. Because what Jesus teaches us here is that we are welcome to address God the same way he addresses God. And what an incredible, empowering truth that is, that we have an opportunity to connect with God like he's our dad. That because of Jesus, we get to connect with God as Father. That is so incredible. Can you imagine? Just imagine for a minute, and all politics aside, imagine that you want to have a conversation with the president. And so you walk right up to the White House and you open the door and you walk in and you walk straight into the Oval Office and have a conversation with him. That couldn't happen, right? That's not even possible. There is so much red tape, right? You could never get in to have that conversation with the president. Not that way. You'd have to make all kinds of phone calls and hope, just hope, that you get the opportunity to walk in and have that conversation. But you guys, we're talking about the God of the universe, right? How much red tape should there be between us and him? It should be impossible for us to approach the one who created it all. But it's not. Because of Jesus, right? Jesus' sacrifice makes it possible for us to connect with God. We see these verses that teach us about that relationship all over the New Testament. Here's one of them in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.'" What an incredible gift, you guys. What an incredible gift that we get to call God Father. The next thing that Jesus is going to teach us to do in the Lord's Prayer is to recognize God's holiness. Now, when you hear this inside the Lord's Prayer, especially the version that we've been reciting our entire lives, you hear these words that say, "Hallowed be thy name." And you guys, if I hear those words, I'm going to be like, wait, what? Is this like a Harry Potter reference or something? What does that even mean? And so one of the things I like to do is flip to different versions of the Bible and see how things are written so that they make a little bit more sense to me. And in the New Living Translation, you're going to read, "May your name be kept holy." Okay, again, what does that even mean? Is this like, all right, God, you are God, so keep being God, right? Is that what it's talking about? Of course not, right? This is a moment where Jesus is teaching us to remember God's place in the universe, to say, God, we know that you are bigger than all of this, that you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship, and you are worthy of our actions, right? Let everything we do remind the world that you are God and we are not. And it reminds us that we need to start doing things in our life that honor God because he's holy. And honestly, if we hope to pray the next thing that Jesus is going to bring up, we're going to need to start doing things that honor God in our daily life. The third thing that Jesus is asking us to pray is to bring on the kingdom, okay? He said in the Lord's Prayer that we usually recite, we're going to say, "May your kingdom come," right? The New Living Translation says, "May your kingdom come soon." And we don't beat around the bush on this, right? This is Jesus literally saying, God, bring your kingdom here now. This is an actual request that God shows up in the here and now and becomes the ruler, right? It's a request that God take over all of it. And I think implied in this prayer is a prayer that will be the kind of people who want to live in God's kingdom. The kind of people who know that he's in charge, who act like he's in charge, and who want to lead cross-shaped lives because God is in charge of it all. But just in case, that prayer that God's kingdom comes right here, right now, is not answered right here, right now, Jesus continues in this prayer with some things that we can pray for that we're going to need in our daily lives starting right now. The next thing that Jesus is going to talk about in this prayer is our daily bread, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is really not anything symbolic. I think a lot of times we get this idea in our heads that this is supposed to be symbolic, and this is something that's about the Lord's Supper, and maybe if we interpret it this way, it might really dig us into our spiritual lives. But you know what I think Jesus is saying? I think Jesus is saying what it says in the New Living Translation, give us each day the food we need. God, help us eat today. But here in the United States of America in 2019, most of us are not having this problem, right? We have enough to have our first serving and have seconds and thirds and then put away the leftovers in cheap Tupperware so we can throw it out if we forget to eat them later, right? Like, we have so much that we waste what's left over. We have everything that we need and more. So what if instead of praying that God feed us every day, those of us who have enough start praying, God, please help us be the answer to somebody else's need for daily bread. God, help me to stop holding so tightly to all my stuff because I know that you have already provided for me. What if we took this as an opportunity to be thankful for all that we've been given? Either way, this prayer for daily bread is something about regular, daily, physical sustenance from God. But Jesus also recognizes that physical substance is not all we need in this world. We also are going to need some spiritual help. And so that's why Jesus talks about praying for forgiveness, right? God, he says in Luke 11:4, he says, forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Now, for some reason, throughout the New Testament, these passages are all tied together, right? The passages about forgiving and about being forgiven. There is one in Luke chapter 6, verse 37 that puts it really clearly. He says, Jesus says, forgive and you will be forgiven. It is that simple. Our forgiveness from God is tied to our forgiveness of other people. If you need something that really drives it home, this quote from C.S. Lewis changed my life. C.S. Lewis said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Now, I know that forgiveness is hard work, and there are some of us who are going through things that are terrible, things that feel unforgivable. And all I can say is, who better to walk alongside us in this journey to learn how to forgive people than the God who is willing to forgive us for everything? The last part of the Lord's Prayer is this request that we won't be allowed to yield to temptation. It says it like this. He says... Now you know what, I lost it. But he talks about how we want to be able to walk away, right, from the things that keep us from God, that keep us from our full relationship with God, that keep us from living out our relationship with God. We all have those things in our lives, don't we? I bet something came to mind for you right now. Something that is just so hard to walk away from. What is that for you? Don't say it to anybody. Don't type it into the chat. But hang on to it because we're going to come back to that together here in just a minute. So as a quick recap, let's run through all of these pieces. Now, of course, you can use these to pray. You don't have to use them exactly in order. You don't have to use them all every single time. But here are the things that Jesus included in his prayer. One, address God as Father. Two, recognize that he's holy. Three, ask him to bring on his kingdom right here, right now. Four, request daily physical sustenance, that daily bread. Five, forgiveness for us and forgiveness for the people who we don't really want to forgive. And number six, a request that we won't yield to temptation. So that's it. Congratulations. You have completed your Learn How to Pray course. You can check it right off of your to-do list. You are done forever and ever and ever. We're done with prayer. Good work, everybody. Right? I mean... that's it, isn't it? Except throughout this entire series, Tyler has been talking about how hearing from God is not a microwave thing, right? It's a crock pot thing. You can't just do it once and check it off and be done forever. So my question to you is, what does this kind of prayer look like in an ongoing, committed pattern? What does this kind of prayer look like in your real life? Is the Lord's Prayer just something that you like embroider on a wall hanging and give to your grandma for Christmas? Is the Lord's Prayer like something that you could possibly use outside of church? Is the Lord's Prayer something that you should use outside of church? Well, the answer is yes, both to the wall hanging, by the way, your grandma's gonna love it, and to using the Lord's Prayer. Now, if you remember, we have claimed through this entire sermon series that this is gonna help you hear from God, right? And so I know for somebody like me, I'm gonna come to the end of a sermon like this one and I'm gonna be fired up about how I can use the Lord's Prayer, right? I can use the Lord's Prayer to change my life. I'm gonna hear everything that I ever possibly need to hear from God. And so I'm gonna get ready for bed tonight, right? And if you're anything like me, you do this too. I'm gonna get ready for bed and I am going to plan to wake up a full hour earlier than I usually wake up. And I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna pray. And I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna pray. And then with the time that's left over, I'm gonna read 10 chapters in my Bible. And then because God has given me his grace, I'm gonna have all of this time to make a really great hot breakfast and to laugh and talk with my kids. And there will be time for 2 cups of coffee, not just one. It is going to be the best morning of my life. That's what I'm gonna do. This is it. I am ready to start my new prayer habit. But I know me. So before I go to bed, I'm gonna set my alarm and it's gonna look a little bit like this. I'm gonna wake up at 5:30 or 5:32 or 5:35. If you hit snooze, that alarm's just gonna go off nonstop for the next 2 hours. And when that alarm goes off at 5:30, I'm not going anywhere. And next thing I know, it's gonna be 7:45. And the you have to get up now if you hope to have any coffee before you start your day alarm is gonna go off. And I'm gonna stumble out of bed and I'm gonna rush around. And all I'm gonna see of prayer that morning is myself muttering under my breath, God, please forgive me for being so impatient, as I scream at my kids to get ready for school. Talk about kicking off my brand new, super committed prayer life. Like, that is it. Right? Listen, I've got all kinds of excuses for why prayer hasn't worked for me. And I think that you've heard some of them too, but I am just going to be real vulnerable with you today. I'm going to tell you about some of my own personal excuses that have kept me from having a quality prayer relationship with God. The first is, I don't have time to pray. I'm too tired. At some point in my life, I got this idea that the only time I could pray was first thing in the morning or last thing at night. And it literally took me until about the year 2019 to learn that you can pray at 2:00 in the afternoon. I had no idea. I had no clue that I could just pray whenever it made sense for me. You know, I realized that I would never, ever in my entire life schedule a really important meeting with someone right before bed and then fall asleep during that meeting. And so why would I treat God like that? So pick a time that's different from when you have been praying and see if it works better for you. I think that it just might. The second excuse that I have made over and over again is that my prayers never go past the ceiling. I pray and nothing happens. I pray and it doesn't mean anything. I pray and it just bounces off the ceiling and comes right back to me and then there's nothing there. What I've learned over time is that the answer to this is don't give up. Just like any relationship that you have with any other person, it takes time. It takes time to learn how to communicate with God. It takes time to learn how to hear his voice. It takes time to build that relationship. Don't give up. I promise it will get better. The third excuse that I make is that I just can't stay focused when I pray. Is that you? Do you struggle to stay focused? You know, you start praying about something and next thing you know, you're like composing your to-do list for tomorrow and next week and it's almost Christmas, so I've got all these lists that I got to put together. Is that you? If you can't stay focused when you pray, get a journal. get a journal or pull out the notes on your phone or get out your laptop, sit down at your computer and write them out. Write out your prayers, every single word. I can absolutely promise you that you will not lose your train of thought when your train of thought is right in front of your face. And this is so awesome. When you write down your prayers, you can come back to them later. And you can go back and you can look back over the months and the years that you have been praying this way, and you can trace God's faithfulness in your life. When you write down your prayers, you get to see what you prayed in that season, and you get to see that God heard you. You get to see that God answered you. You get to see that He knows you deeply and intimately. Or some of us say, and I have said this, like I said, these are all my excuses, I don't know what to say. So this is where the rubber meets the road, right? This is where we use things like the Lord's Prayer. This is where we open our Bibles and we use the Bible to teach us how to pray. And so today, we're just going to really practically take the Lord's Prayer. We're going to recontextualize it for right here and right now. We're going to pull it out of that world where we just repeat the words and they sound like a poem instead of a real, honest plea to our Father in heaven. Today, as a church family, we're going to come together and we are going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And as we work our way through this prayer, I would encourage you to actually keep your eyes open, because we're going to put the pieces of the prayer on the screen behind me, and you'll be able to see where we are and what this might look like in your life. Let's pray. Father, we realize that this relationship with you is such a precious gift that we're given through your Son. And we are so, so thankful for that precious gift. We're thankful for Jesus and his sacrifice that makes that all possible. We know that we haven't done anything to earn this relationship with you as our Father, and we are deeply grateful for this tender and familiar relationship. Thank you for letting us call you Father. Father, we know that you are holy. God, you are so worthy of all of our praise and our worship. Please, Father, shape us to be the kind of people who show you that we honor you in all that we do. Father, we pray that your kingdom will come soon. Lord, we long for the day that you are the one who rules over everything. What a great day that's going to be. In the meantime, God, help us want to be the kind of people who will live cross-shaped lives. Help us be the kind of people who will bring other people to know you and what it's like to live in your care. God, teach us to place you and you alone at the center of our lives so that all we do is for you and for your glory. Father, there are some among us who are in need. Here in our online campus, God, there are people who are all over the world, and some of them are hungry. God, we pray for their sustenance today. We pray that you will provide for their physical needs in the here and now. But also, God, we pray that you'll continue to mold us as the people of Northeast into a people who give in sacrificial ways. God, please help us to live with our hands open. Please help us live prepared to give so that everyone around us will have what they need too. Please remind us that all we have comes from you when we forget. So many of us are blessed with everything we ever could need and more. Father, we're thankful that we have all that we need for today. Please teach us, Lord, to give up on worry. Teach us to trust that you will always provide for us. And forgive us for the times that we hold too tightly to our things, to our wealth, because we're afraid of tomorrow. Father, please forgive us for the places where we fall short. We know that all of us do. For some of us, there are things that come to mind right this second, and we are asking you to forgive us and teach us to follow you in new and bold ways. Some of us are wrestling, God, with situations where we know we need to forgive, and we just haven't brought ourselves to the place where we can do that fully. We know that you've already forgiven us for the places where we fall short. And we also know that you've already forgiven them for the ways that they've hurt us and for the things that we haven't let go of. Father, we know that this unforgiveness is something we were never intended to carry. Please teach us to set it down and refuse to pick it up again. Lastly, Father, God, we're here today with all different kinds of temptations. Some of us are here today gripped by addiction, God, things like alcohol and drugs and sex. Some of us are in the clutches of habits that feel impossible to break. Some of us are stuck in habits of anger or lust or gossip or workaholism. God, there are all kinds of temptations that have a hold on us. And some of us are here with temptations that we're desperate to keep a secret. Father, whatever temptations are facing each of us individually, right here, right now, and as a church as a whole, we ask you to give us the strength to resist it. We're asking for a supernatural kind of strength, God, the kind of strength that only you can give us, the strength to stare down that temptation and say, no, no more. But God, this, all of this, now and forever, is all for your glory. The glory is yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come out of this sermon today, I hope that you walk away with something to hold on to, with an idea of how you can start today to pray, to build this prayer relationship with God, the kind of relationship with God that multiplies everything else that you're doing. Start today. Before you get up from wherever you're sitting, schedule that time in your calendar. Set a time that you're going to have a conversation with God today and tomorrow and every day from here on out. Because I really do believe that these conversations with God, prayer, will help us hear God's voice in our lives. But now we want you to know that we love you as a church, and we're so, so glad that you were here with us today. We really do hope that you'll come back next week and that we'll see you here online or in one of our physical campuses. We also want you to know that we're praying for you every single day, and that is the honest truth. And if you need prayer, or if you need to connect with somebody and have a conversation about what you've heard today or the other things that are going on in your life, we would love for you to reach out in that chat window. Say something so that we can be there for you, or reach out via email so that we can have a conversation with you, because we really do love you. Now go out and love the Ville, no matter where you are. Have a great week.